APV Services presents episode 11 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
I'm Estella.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to be here, so you can be quiet. Right, so it's going to be a different show today, because one, we're rushing because Alicia's got to get to school. It's going to be an Alicia Light episode today, but you'll understand that later on as to why that's the case. But first of all, we've got to get race straight on with feedback. So without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. Now, we've got this rather strange bit of feedback.
Hello, this is Dalek, am I? I heard that you required some audio feedback. I obeyed. In my last comment, when I was talking about Wizard Fox on a screwdriver, I meant I was hoping that her sonic screwdriver was an incarnation of the Tenth Doctor's. I was wrong because it would have caused a paradox, as we found out in the Big Bang. However, those two episodes are over, as is the series, and I am looking forward to the next one because Rory, Amy, and Riversong are going to be in it. I love the podcast and think it's great. Best wishes, Dalek Amadai, your young Dalek listener. Exterminate!
Well, it's very nice to be congratulated one and then exterminated with the other, but thank you, Dalek Amatai. Now, as far as the screwdriver goes, I don't think we've got to the point in which the Doctor has given the sonic screwdriver to... what's her name again?
Riversong.
Yes, and Isabella is trying to throttle herself with a thread of some variety. Would you stop playing around with stuff? Give it here. Well, don't put it around your neck. Anyway, shush. So, what was the other point... Dalek Amatai was trying to make?
He loves
the podcast, Riversong. Yes,
I love like the pink one.
Yeah, same here.
The pink one, and I want to talk the pink one.
Yeah, thank you. Right, we have another bit of feedback, and this one is quite special, really.
Hello, Adam and Alicia. I'm Wendell, and I hail from Minnesota, USA. Adam, you briefly mentioned my niece and nephew on one of the podcasts. They contribute to the Flashing Blade podcast as the Children of Time. I just wanted to drop you a line to say that I started listening to your podcast after hearing it mentioned on the TARDIS Tavern. Just last weekend, while driving up to a science fiction convention with my brother Wes in order to interview Paul Cornell, I was telling Wes that I needed some new podcasts to listen to. Yours has not disappointed. I've blazed through the first 10 episodes since then. I have a couple questions for Alicia if she can pay attention long enough to listen. These are in regards to the Sarah Jane adventures. I realize it is a children's program, but Sarah Jane Smith was my first companion and has always been my favorite, so when she got her own series, I was very excited. Alicia, question 1. Do you prefer Luke or Clyde? Question 2. Have you enjoyed Maria or Ronnie more as their female counterpart? Question 3. What has been your favorite episode of Sarah Jane Adventures? I think 3 questions is probably enough, given how your attention span seems to be. I'm looking forward to hearing your answers. Keep up the great work, both of you. Sincerely, Wendell in Minnesota. P.S. Do they make a sonic lipstick toy? I think that would be pretty cool to get for my niece. Bye-bye.
So, Alicia. So, did you manage to pay attention to that particular question?
Yeah.
Well, but before we get on to your things, they do make a sonic lipstick toy.
Yeah, they
have
do.
A look at Forbidden Planet. They've certainly got them on sale. Right, your questions. What do you reckon?
First one, Clyde, because I think he's more funny than Luke, to be honest.
Yeah.
I prefer him. Next one, Maria, because I don't think Marnie's done that much yet. I think she's trying to copy Maria, trying to be her.
I'm not too sure about that, but yeah.
But she is, so... The last one, my favourite episode, is one with David Tennant.
I'd have to agree with that as well. So, yes, I hope that answers your questions, and thank you. It's nice to get a bit of feedback from a podcast feedback... legend, yes, like you, because obviously we've heard you many a time on the flashing blade. So thank you very much, Wendell. It's very difficult during the podcast when your younger child is eating snot and wiping it all over her face. So lovely. Thank you, Isabella, for being completely and utterly disgusting.
You
what have you got to say for yourself? Are you being a monster?
You're going to talk about Doctor Who?
No, okay. She's in a sulk because she's been awkward. So, yes. So that's probably about it for Alicia's contribution to the show, unless you wanted to say anything specific. Actually, before we move on, we've got about 3 minutes left before I have to take you to school.
Wait.
I have got a little bit of news. We've got, apparently, the episode titles for...
series.
The Sarah Jane Adventures, can actually find them, because a bit of paper, the page I've got at the moment doesn't actually have them on show, so bear with me a moment. Ah, right, here we go. Right, so we've got The Nightmare Man by Joseph Lidster, and then we've got The Vault of Secrets by Phil Ford, followed by Death of the Doctor by Russell T. David.
Is that Matt Smith's one?
Yeah. Followed by The Empty Planet. That sounds very familiar. Title, The Empty Planet.
Empty Child?
The Empty Planet's written by Gareth Roberts. And then Lost in Time by Rupert Late. And obviously the series finale, Goodbye Sarah Jane Smith by Gareth Roberts and Clayton
Hickman. Is this
Hickman.
The last one? Or?
No, there's always, I think the last story in every series has had Sarah Jane Smith in the title somewhere. So, this week we've got a very special show for you. It's an interview with Toby Haydock, who is quite famous in Doctor Who circles for being the author and performer of Moth Ate My Doctor Who Scarf, which is absolutely brilliant. He's doing other things at the moment. He's still doing stand-up comedy. He's an actor. He's quite talented, basically. And a jolly nice chap, too, for agreeing to do the interview with us. With me, sorry, Alicia, because you were doing other things at the time.
I was doing homework.
Yes, like as you. This girl. Is one of the reasons why you haven't been able to make your full contribution to this particular podcast this week. So, Toby very kindly offered his services over the phone. So, apologies for the sound quality of this. It was quite awkward to record. First of all, here's a little clip from Moth Eat My Doctor Who Scarf.
Hello. I am known as the Doctor. Or at least a tenth part of him. Let me take you back in time 30 years, and I don't mean by going to Blackpool. I'm going to take you on a journey to witness the creation of one of the most peculiar creatures in the universe. Odder than the Ood, stranger than the Sycorax. This is the story of a Doctor Who fan.
This is the BBC. And Moths Ate My Doctor Who Scarf, in which a Doctor Who scarf gets eaten by some moths.
I suppose I'd better start by coming out of the closet. But my closet is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, because I am a Doctor Who fan. I was born to be a Doctor Who fan. I wasn't a strapping youth. I wasn't born with the macho gene, the confident gene, the sartorial elegance gene. Spindly arms, hay fever, and psoriasis. That's eczema for middle-class people. My cadaverous physique was wrapped in a skin that looked like a raspberry ripple, but with a slightly different kind of flake. So I wasn't confident, I wasn't strong, and I needed a hero. Because I didn't have a father figure. My dad vanished when I was 4. Not inside a blue police box. That would have been cool.
What do you mean you're not coming back? You've got 4 kids, for Christ's sake. Just come back and we can talk.
Come on, give it me now.
Now, you listen to me. I can't manage 4 kids on my own. What do you think I am, Superwoman?
Now on BBC One, just to make Toby Haydock feel better, it's the latest adventure for Doctor Who, The Invisible Enemy, in which the Doctor encounters an enemy he can't see.
Oh, that theme. Still makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. Doctor Who was my one constant male presence. He was my hero. Not like any other hero on the box. I couldn't identify with any of them. They were perfect. They always bagged the girl.
Greetings, soft folk, Asavian female. Our mission is to seek out new life and new civilizations. This is what we on Earth call kissing.
Whereas the Doctor was above all that. Different. He didn't look like he'd spent all week in the gym, he didn't care about money, and his outfit suggested a certifiable haberdasher, sure, but a refreshing lack of ego.
Hello,
Hello, Toby.
Hiya, how are you?
Not too bad. Oh, you wouldn't believe the trouble I've gone to try and get this done. I thought it'd be so easy, because I thought the iPhone, oh, that's got a recording thing on it, but I had it wired up and they could hear me, but I couldn't hear them, and so I've gone round it a slightly different method. Today, I did actually listen for a second time to Moss Ate My Doctor Who Scarf, and it was lovely. I do enjoy it anyway. I might remember we communicated first and I said it was inspirational.
Yes, that's a great word to use.
Well, that's because it sort of inspired me into starting to write a sort of a play, and then I realised that it was a little bit too close to the original, so I abandoned it in there. So, but yeah, I mean, it must have been a major thrill to have certain, artists involved in the project that went on the radio.
Absolutely, I remember getting the email saying, that's the production assistant that had just sent an email that said in big red letters, Colin Baker said yes.
Colin's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Lovely bloke.
Yeah, they're all the Who cast used to revel about how he's always up for anything in regards to interviews, if he's available, he'll do it, sort of thing.
He's so generous with his time, he really is.
And he'll even do free performances on certain sort of amateur audio productions and stuff like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Which I remember, John Pertwee, the last podcast I did, we had a little thing about, it's not an interview with John Pertwee, a meeting with him just before he died, and he was talking about a thing he did for a group of fans in which he played himself as the Doctor, because they had a strange thing where Patrick Troughton regenerated into a different actor who then played the Doctor for their little group. And then later on in the series, John Pertwee came down and said, to actually become the proper Doctor so they could carry on with the series we watched on the telly. It was a very clever little thing.
Oh, brilliant.
But I diverse. So, before we get onto the subject, I was wanted to talk about, which is actually the most recent series of Doctor, because we're all fans, and that's basically. I want to give you an opportunity of because I know you're very busy at the moment, doing all sorts of things. And what are you actually up to at the moment?
I'm previewing my new show, which opens in Edinburgh in less than a month.
And what is this new show then?
It's called Now I Know My BBC.
And what?
And it's a sort of similar thing. It's sort of autobiographical, but about the influence the BBC has had and how it is our.
Yeah, so it's a bit of singing the praises of the BBC a little bit,
defending the licence fee and defending quality broadcasting and attacking small-minded bullying journalism.
I think I'm all for that, because I've always been a big, big fan of the BBC. I personally think they do everything better than anybody else. Football, Doctor Who, drama in general, comedy in general, it's not to say ITV or the other channels haven't got the odd programme that is good, but I think the standard, as BBC, if you compare the amount of programming they do, I think we do get really good value out of the licence fee, I think, with the radio stations and the choices available. I think I'm starting to do a little bit of program myself on it, actually, but but yeah, so that sounds really good. And as I say, was the Moss thing, was that like a shortened version, the one that came out on audio?
The one that came out on audio is completely different to the stage show, because the stage show is just me talking. It's stand up. It's me talking for about an hour and a half. So it's completely in the CD that is not in the stage version, and the stuff in the stage version that's not in, it's the same story told in a completely different way. So people who've got the CD and haven't seen the live show will find plenty in the live show that they've not come across before.
Oh, right.
Which I'm quite pleased with. It meant I got to write the same story in different ways. It was a good little exercise for me, really.
Yeah, but the live show, is that available at all on any sort of audio or any recording at all?
Watch this.
Well, hey, and that's what I like to say. Are you likely to be doing it again, or is that something you've finished with now?
Yeah, I'm doing one night at this Edinburgh Festival, a 600 seater, and I've still got I've got some touring dates coming up in sort of Cranley and Leamington Spa, and
I suppose it's something you can add to now, with obviously it sort of ends while Tennant's the Doctor, doesn't it? And there's more things to sort of add to it now with the Moth.
There is, but I quite like where it ends, and I should really be winding it down as well.
Yeah.
Exist as a piece of, you know, history. I need to move on.
Oh, yeah, but I suppose you're right. But it was obviously very popular, and so a lot of people like myself and actually had a chance to see the stage show version of it, and being a bit behind the times.
I do think the stage show is better than the radio show, just because I'd never written a radio show before.
No.
The bits in the radio show now, I go, oh, I could have done that better, oh, I should have done that better. But it was very much a learning curve, and it was done very quickly as well. It was kind of low budget, so I'm obviously pleased with it, but I think because with the stage show I've got 100% control over it, so
yeah.
You know, then you can do it exactly how you want it to be done.
Something for you.
I'll just pause it there because the phone's rung. Might be a sec, Toby. Right, where do we get up to?
yes, well, we'll just talk about the difference between the live and the video.
Oh, that's right, yes, because I know that my friend, you know, might have heard of Alistair Pearson, who's a good mate of mine, and I seem to remember him trying to get you to come down to the Isle of Wight and do a spot.
Yes. Sadly, it's not up to me where I go anymore. we share a birthday as well. But somebody bought, you know, the touring rights have been sort of purchased, and so I now just go where I'm told. They book it in, they sort it all out, and I just turn up and do it.
So,
which means I don't have to do any of the organising, which is lovely, but it means I also don't have any control over that. But then again, if I did, nothing would ever get done.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, well, hope at some point, if it's along the south coast at some point, we might be able to come along and see it. That'd be great. So, moving on to a subject closer to both of our hearts. Current season of Doctor Who, or the Finnish series now, as it is, what are the highs and lows, as I say, for you on this particular series?
Highs, well, just the general feel of it, I thought, was delightful. I just really enjoyed the sort of colour palette and the fact that it started in an English village, and I think Matt Smith is bulletproof. I think he's a wonderful eccentric with a really offbeat quality. It's a real return to a sort of alien doctor.
Yeah.
I rather like that. I think the doctor is a hero for people that people think are strange, because I think we all, especially when you're growing up, because the doctor left you when you're a kid, when the world is big and scary, and you think everybody thinks you're a bit weird, or nobody quite understands you and you don't understand them. And the Doctor's the ideal hero because he's this madman that nobody takes seriously. Everyone thinks he's a bit odd, but he saves the universe. And I like that sort of, and Matt Smith has that in spades, that sort of offbeat quality that, you know, your Patrick Jones and Tom Baker have of being strange. And also it's a very good way of disarming authority. If you look like this sort of slightly bonkers tramp, authority doesn't take you very seriously, and bullying bad guys don't take you very seriously, and then you can, you know, outwit them. I was watching, they reminded of the Dominators, you know, two big, you know, nasty, sadist, fascist bullies, and you've got Patrick Trout there pretending to be really stupid, and as a result of that, they underestimate them, and he beats them. I think Matt Smith has that sort of, you know, that strangeness that makes people dismiss him as a weirdo, and obviously then he can produce a rabbit out of the hat. So I think they got all of that right. I think all of those things that wanted to bring to the series into the central character worked really nicely. I have to say I'm a big fan, and I say this particularly because a lot of the newspapers articles I've said almost as an afterthought, because they have to, they can't say that something's brilliant, they have to then go, oh yeah, that's not very good. And I think Rory has had way too much stick for a guy that and I say this as a professional comedian, his comedy timing is absolutely spot on. I mean, I think from the 11th hour when he's doing stuff better, and now you're taking off your clothes, I think he delivers a funny line bang on without it looking like a gag. He's just naturally funny. And then when he needs dramatic chops, like the stuff of him saying, you know, I'm going to guard this for 1,000 years, you know, or because he loves Amy so much, I completely buy it. And Doctor Who needs actors who are as good at comedy as they are at drama. I think Arthur Darvill straddles both of those brilliantly, and I think he is an absolute find. I really enjoyed everything he brought to it, and I was terribly sad when he died. Very chuffed when, well, exactly, very, very chuffed when he came back to life. I have to say, that was a bit of a shocker at the end of the Silurian one. I mean, oh my God, because I'm not privy to what goes on. I remain pretty spoiler free, and deliberately so. I mean, I stayed on the forums and everything because I like to see a drama unfold as it unfolds rather than find out 3 months before. So I was pretty lucky. I didn't know much of what was going on, although inevitably, you know, people do come up to you and say, "Oh, the Daleks are back then." You go, "Yeah, thanks a lot." And I think all of the episodes, it was very, very clever. The whole series was very clever, and I just think it had a real charm about it. It's a charming show, and in saying all of this, I'm not knocking anything that has gone before, because I've loved the whole of the new series, but the series does need to reinvent itself, and it's enough of the same to continue to be successful and appeal to people like my friends who ordinarily wouldn't have given Doctor Who the time of day, but different enough for it to be carving its own special little niche into the whole, you know,
universal
landscape of, the whole universal landscape of Doctor Who.
Indeed.
I have to say, though, a lot of friends of mine have started watching this year. He said, "Yeah, well, I meant to watch Doctor Who, and I never quite got round to it, but I started this year, and I've really liked it." So a lot of new fans have joined this year as well. So it's not just, you know, it's not just hung on to some of the people that were watching before. It's grabbed some new people too, which is good.
Yeah, I totally and utterly agree with you about Matt Smith. I liked him from probably the moment he sort of appeared at the end of time, and I was quite pleased that he continued in that vein. I liked Karen Gillan. I used to see her on the Kevin Bishop show before she was on Doctor Who, and I thought she was gorgeous, and she was quite versatile, and on that programme I thought she'd have the ability to, you know, to produce a character for Doctor Who, and her character in Doctor Who is completely different from any of the characters she does on that show. And like you say, Arthur Darvill and Rory was something I didn't know was coming along, and absolutely loved, and I was delighted that he was still in the TARDIS at the end of the series. So, yes. I think a lot of the, you know, proper Doctor Who fans are well chuffed with that, and hope that it does continue into series two.
Yes, what I want to say about Karen Gillan, who I think the camera absolutely adores, and I think he's absolutely gorgeous, and I love the sassiness. One of my favourite bits she did, I think, was at the end of Vampires of Venice, where she goes, "You know, I've got the spaceship, I've got my boys," or whatever it was. There was a real dynamic there. Come on. I would occasionally, I have to say, as a small caveat, I would occasionally, because I think she's capable, and I'm not sure, I would like to see a bit her occasionally not react with the sassiness all the time, and I think that's sometimes in the lines that she's given. The second part of the Silurian story, it was a lot of it was, you know, they were negotiating for the future of the planet. I'm not quite sure how I buy the logic of that, with the three of them just going to emerge at the end and say to the Prime Minister, "We've decided what's going to happen." But I just found that a lot of that was a little bit glib, a little bit fun and bouncy when it perhaps could have done with a bit more dramatic chops. And I don't think that was her fault. I think that was the way that it was written. So I would like to see her stretched a bit more next year.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think hopefully, I think Moffat is pretty clever. I think he probably would have seen that, like he saw that people would like Rory, because I can't imagine that Rory was just shoehorned into the TARDIS at the last minute when he realised that Doctor Who fans liked him. He must have seen that for himself. So.
I have no doubt if there's something I've spotted, I suspect Stephen Moffat probably spotted it about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that anything that any small cosmetic changes that need doing will have not escaped him. I think he knows how it works. I think
our podcast tends to be very positive towards every bit of Doctor Who, even Happiness Patrol and Delta and the Bannymen and Twin Dilemma. We love them all. But you have to occasionally have slight gripes, and there are a couple of slight gripes for me in this series. One was the new Daleks, which I'm sort of starting to get used to it. Initially, it was the theme tune, which I love now, funny enough. And what was the other gripe? You carry on talking, because I've forgotten what the other gripe was now.
Well, I'll pick up. I do quite like the theme. I still don't think we've had a modern theme tune to match the original.
Oh, no.
And that's not just me being an old fuddy-duddy. I think... And I'm not a musical person at all, but And I do quite like the new composition, but I think it needs to woof up the doubly dums and give a bit more welly to the ooey-oos.
Absolutely.
I love all the bells and whistles of the, you know, the violin, and there's even a sort of deep male voice on the you know, choral voice at the near the end of the one theme. I love all those additions, but not if they're drowning out the doubly dums and the woo-oos.
I agree. That's why I didn't like it initially.
Put that in your synthesizer and smoke it. Translates into.
But it's still a lot better than some of the themes we've had, and I'm not going to mention
them. True. I think there's a brilliant, with a combination of all the good things about, because it's been about three now, of the new themes, and I like Marigold's music, but I think with those original bits that they lifted from the original Delia Derbyshire arrangement of the ooey-oos, which you can't quite tell what instrument they are, there's a definitive version waiting to be done, and they haven't quite done it yet for me.
It's funny, because some of the podcasts have really, really good versions of the Doctor Who theme that does sound a bit like Dilly Derbyshire's, but it's been sort of, you know, tweaked with and sounds modern as well. Yeah, and there's a couple of really, really good ones. I can't think who it is. I know that the old Who cast used to play a lot of these arrangements many years ago, so it's a shame they haven't picked up any of that on any of that, really. But I suppose they'll change it again in a couple of years.
Yeah, and we'll all go, well, I like the old one. I mean, that's the other thing as well, is you only like a theme once it's gone. I remember being aghast at the Peter Howell one when that first came. I heard it the other night, somebody played it at, just before I went on to do a show. Somebody stuck it on, and I just thought, oh, this is a brilliant arrangement.
Yeah, it's on every DVD, isn't it, as far as I know, or most of them, anyway.
Yeah, but it is, yeah.
I remember what my other gripe was now. It was the... the continuous sort of story arc things I'm starting to get a little bit bored of now. I just wish they'd do just one series or just individual stories without a major, if any, story arc. Just to please me, really.
Well, I guess that's how television is done, and I guess they would say, you know, we are fans, and I guess they would say they are chucking stuff in for us that is a payoff for our loyalty over 13 weeks. You know, more than you know, a casual viewer who dips in, and it just seems to be the way that, you know, even something like Casualty, has through stories running through the individual episodes. You could dip into Casualty on a Saturday and, you know, think, oh, I wonder if that man who's mending the roof is going to fall off it. Look, he does. But not necessarily to be privy to the relationships between the doctors and the nurses, which, you know, play out over the whole series. So I just think it's the way that television is done, that it works on two levels. So I suspect you will not get your wish. I could be wrong.
No, you're probably right. It's just... well, that's why I liked Vincent and the Doctor so much, because it didn't appear to be so much of a story arc episode. It seemed to stand on its own, and the same with the Lodger to a certain degree.
Yes, I really enjoyed the Lodger. I thought the Lodger was an especially lovely episode.
Yeah, I mean, so what would you say was your favourite story of the season then?
I have to say I thought the Angels two-parter, I thought was spectacular, especially the first episode.
It's difficult to choose where there's so many highs with this series, isn't it? Have been really, really sport with this year, I thought. You know, there's not a lot of lows.
No, it's been a very consistently high quality. There were only a couple. I mean, there was only one moment in that Angels 2 part that I didn't buy, which is a shame, which was the, just pretend you've got your eyes open as you walk along. I thought that, I didn't quite buy that, and that's a shame. But the story needed it, because you needed that moment of her being absolutely petrified and having to stand up and having to walk and having to face it, and of course to have the bit where you suddenly saw them, you know, turning their heads and moving. So occasionally with Doctor Who you have to have a moment that you don't quite buy if it facilitates a moment of great dramatic or character oomph. So I just about forgive it, because I can't see how else they would have done it, but it's a shame, because other than that I think it was, you know, near damn perfect.
No, I think we forgive them for everything, really, because unless it's something really awful.
It was such a terrific. That was brilliant too. And the first episode, especially. I was in a travel lodge. I was doing the Frog and Bucket in Preston that night, and I was in a travel lodge, which aren't the most atmospheric of places. And the scene with the angel coming out of the telly really gave me the willies. And then the utter joy at the end of that was I was so incensed by Graham Norton appearing at the end. But, of course, at that point, I didn't have any internet access or anything like that. I just thought it was me being a geek. But I was livid, and I was comparing this gig I was doing in Preston. So I went up, and I sort of jollied along, and I did a bit. And then I just lost it and went, and another thing, and did this sort of public rant about, sticking, not believing, not trusting the audience to enjoy the piece of drama they're showing, and ruining something that's taken months to write and edit and put together, and blah, 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 and then somebody thinks, oh, yeah, let's, at the climactic moment, stick Graham Norton's animated. And I just did this ballistic rant, and at the end of it, got a round of applause from an audience who, they weren't geeks, it was just a normal comedy night, but I'd somehow tapped into a vein, and they all agreed as well, or they all just thought, well, if I don't cut this, he's gonna attack us all with hammers. I felt my righteous indignation was supported by the good people of Preston.
Yeah, well, I think it reminded me of On Rose, wasn't it? A similar sort of thing happened that Graham Norton appeared on that.
Yeah, bloody Graham Norton, yeah.
Something about him.
Again. Yeah.
It's obviously some sort of future nemesis of the Doctor.
Yeah. that's what will happen. Stephen Moffat is, what he's going to do is he's going to culminate next series and he's going to tie all those things in. But it's all been some big, timey, whiny master plan of Graham Norton's to retrospectively, destroy Doctor Who's past and future history.
It would be rather ironic if they actually did write Graham into an episode somehow.
Yes.
Don't know if he can act, though. It's a trouble. Although they have done it with a few EastEnders characters and cameos from Blue Peter people, haven't they?
They've not been averse to Paul O'Grady as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about him.
And Luddy Whittaker.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, of course, the other thing that stands out for the last couple of series is the character River Song, who I absolutely love and am intrigued by, which is, it's a really, really good thing.
Yes, I think Alex Kingston's great. I think River Song is a terrific character. I mean, it just to show how popular she is, when I saw the 11th Hour in a pub full of Doctor Who fans, not a thing I normally would have done, but I got invited, and I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a big pub in London, loads of really nice people, heady, exciting atmosphere. And when the next time trailer came on at the end of the 11th Hour, and River Song's face popped up, she got a massive spontaneous round of applause, and she's brilliant.
Because yeah.
Moffat writes smart, clever, funny women extremely well, and Alex Kingston is pitch perfect, and she's intriguing, and she keeps us guessing, and there's still stuff we don't know, and I like that. Sometimes, mysteries in dramas, they get a bit annoying, and you go, oh, just come on, bloody tell us.
Oh, absolutely.
I quite like being intrigued by River Song. I quite like the little bits we get fed and the little hints, because it's part of her game. I like it. Good.
Yeah, well, I can't help thinking that Moffat's got this 3-series plan for Matt Smith, and he won't do a fourth because I think he's got it all panned out. The River Song's got something to do with him, and ended up regenerating. Well, hopefully not, because I'd like to see a Doctor last 4 complete series rather than 3 series and a load of specials. But because I especially do like Matt Smith.
Yes, I do like. I would happily see Matt Smith carry on as long as. I think he's terrific. I guess it's he's a young man with a bright future, so I guess that's well. Look, let's not start talking about.
Moving ahead. There's a time traveling program.
Yes, indeed. But no, if he turned around and said, "Oh, I'm going to do a Pertwee and do 5 years," I would take that.
Absolutely, indeed. I can't see Moffat doing it for 5 years, but you never know.
Yes. No, you never know.
It wouldn't be a bad thing either.
It would not be a bad thing at all.
I just wish the viewing figures would stop. I mean, I didn't get to see any live episodes of Doctor, but I think I got to see the first one, but I was so busy for the rest of the series, I had to watch recordings of it either later on that day or on the Sunday or even Monday.
Well, that's true. You're somebody who does a Doctor Who podcast and you're not watching it live. So,
yes.
And it strikes me, Jay Hunt seems to be perfectly aware that, the time shift figures are what makes a difference. And I think
absolutely.
A lot of people are iPlayering. I'm such a geek that I will, as much as I can, wherever I am, watch it live, and I will turn down work.
Yeah.
I will turn down work if it means that I can't watch it. And I think it was only Amy's Choice, and actually the Pandorica opened, because that was a touring day I was doing, I think, and I can't get out of those, that I missed live. And the rest I saw live. But, you know, it's, but apart from Doctor Who, I don't think I watch anything live on television. So, and that's somebody who, you know, a year ago, you know, would stay in and watch telly and appointment viewing or record it. And now iPlayer makes it so easy.
Yeah, it's brilliant. That especially when you got it on the Wii.
Yeah, exactly. You create your own timetable.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's been a little bit of, you know, corners of the internet panicking, and that's because Doctor Who fans expect everything to be a disaster.
Yeah.
I have some sympathy with that, though my natural reaction is to panic and go, they're going to act it again. But from all I've been told and from all I understand it, the viewing figures, people are more than happy with the viewing figures and
good.
Well aware that television viewing habits are changing.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, it's like, moving on, probably the last thing we can talk about now is the forthcoming series of Sarah Jane Adventures, which has a very exciting episode coming up, written by Russell T. Davies and
I
featuring...
Know, I can't believe it.
I know. I can't wait!
You hear sort of hints of this stuff, and you just go, oh, this is the internet talking rubbish, or... I mean, I remember when School Reunion was happening, they said, oh, Sarah Jane and K-9, and I just thought, oh, that's the tabloids talking rubbish. just because the Daleks came back last year, they're now going, let's talk about something else that's recognisable. Oh, K-9, yeah, everyone knows K-9. Who was he last week? Oh, Sarah Jane. We go, there's no way they're going to bring back an actress playing a character from all those years ago who had a pilot for a series anyway. And I was completely wrong. And it just goes to... I mean, I've got to know Katie Manning reasonably well, I would say, and I was watching the 11th, and she was in the pub when the 11th hour was on, and we had lots of fun and talked all sorts and hooking up soon and all that sort of thing, and she didn't say a word.
She's a good girl.
She kept it very... Yeah, she hadn't told... And I know Katie's best friend, who's the wife of a very good friend of mine, and she hadn't told them either, so she kept, you know, she kept it very close to her chest. It's good for her. But, you know, the idea that Joe Grant would return to the Doctor Who universe, played by the same actress, you know, all those years later, and that Russell T. Davies, who I thought was making a clean break from all things Doctor Who, you know, has been tempted back to the fold, it's just incredible.
Yeah. And exciting.
And great. And exciting. And,
because,
you know,
I've heard he's supposed to be in line to write for either the next series or the series after.
Well, that would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
That would be very interesting to see. And of course, he's working on Torchwood now, which,
yeah,
since Children of Earth, you go, blimey, you know, they've really upped the ante with that.
They certainly do.
It's all just terribly exciting.
Yeah, it certainly,
you know,
is.
If you think about where we were 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, oh, good grief. That's why we were always a bit paranoid about, you know, the thing going... Yeah, sort of off track, you know, because like you say in Moss, it's the same thing happened to me. It's like every Doctor Who fan can relate to it about the girlfriends that used to have, and they used to love you, but not in that way, sort of thing. It's now that a lot of lads who like Doctor Who and, oh, I like it too. Oh, lovely. It's a completely different turnaround. I can wear my Doctor Who t-shirts with pride and not actually be necessarily called a geek or anything. It's
absolutely.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, the geeks shall inherit, as they say.
Indeed, yes. Yes, I never did really consider myself to be one, but I suppose I was. I thought we had to announce an ounce of intelligence to be one, but...
a different sort of intelligence.
Well, maybe so. Anyway, I have to thank you so much, Toby, for your time tonight.
Yeah.
I could have gone on for hours, but I got members of my family sort of gritting their teeth at me through the crack in the door, so rather than the crack in the wall. So.
Oh, well, yes, as long as it's only a crack in the door. nice talking to you, and good luck with the podcast. Keep up the good work.
I'll be back in touch when we've actually got some episodes to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
Right. Thanks, then.
Anyway.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Toby Haydoke there, who is... the writer of Moth's 8-Mark Doctor Who Scarf. Now, you can download his show, the Moth's 8-Mark Doctor Who Scarf, via the audible.com website, or you can actually buy it from the iTunes list. So if you're a Doctor Who fan and you haven't heard it, it's really well worth a listen, because a lot of us can relate to the character. Well, him, actually, it's because it's Toby himself. So have a listen to that. You won't regret it. It's really, really good. So... feedback. I think you might have slightly misunderstood my message of last week when we said we wanted audio feedback. We do desperately want audio feedback because it sounds better on a podcast, actually hear the voices of our listeners. But we still want the emails. We didn't get any emails this week, so that was a bit disappointing. So I think I might have slightly misled you down the way. Yes, I'm not very good at reading them out, but I still love to get them, and I still will read them out. So please, everything, audio, email, we'd love it. And the email address is 20megfeedback@hotmail.co.uk. That's the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback, at hotmail.co.uk, and that email address is printed on our graphic, and also if you look at the iTunes feed, it's also on there as well. You can also leave messages on our Facebook wall, which is the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, or you can become a friend of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, which is you just do a search on Facebook and you should find us there. And you can also leave a feedback message via the iTunes feed. So I think I've covered it all there. Once again, thank you for Toby for joining the show this week. Alicia will not be on the next episode because we have a very special review of series 5, and Alistair Pearson will be joining me, and he's made lots and lots of notes, and we'll be having a very, very long chat about series 5. So if you listen to this program just to listen to Alicia's moods, I'm afraid that they won't be available for the next episode, but it will be very interesting nevertheless. Alistair, of course, is very famous for doing lots and lots of Doctor Who artwork for the Target books, the videos, the old videos, and the Doctor Who monthly magazine. He's very well known in Doctor Who circles, and he's also a very, very good friend of mine, so I'm really looking forward to that, and we'll be recording that this week, so it's a bonus episode for you. And so I'll see you in a couple of days' time. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.